Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
We are bringing you another episode in our 12-part series called Turning Struggles into Triumphs, Parenting Through Learning Challenges.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's interview. Have a great day.
Hi everybody, thanks for listening. I've got Michelle here with me this morning, who is another wonderful parent that has so graciously volunteered to share her experiences and be interviewed for this parent series. So welcome, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for being here. We're very excited to have you and very appreciative of your time.
Well, somebody will listen to me, so that's great. Thank you.
I think so. And believe it or not, our podcast has reached worldwide amazingly. So surely awesome. There's a listener out there that your experience may resonate with or help them kind of put that spark under them to push for advocating for their child and getting to the root of what's going on.
Right.
So, Michelle, awesome. Tell me a little bit about the struggles that you observed prior to any diagnosis, whether they be educational or behavioral. What were you observing that made you concerned initially?
Well, it's prior to the pandemic, my daughter, she's always been super empathetic. You know, like she always felt really strong. And, you know, people would just say, well, she's just that kind of, you know, that kind of person. So, you know, that was one of the things, even when she was a baby, if it was a baby crying, she needed to see where that baby was. Not that she could do anything, but she just needed to know. Right. So that was something that was kind of endearing or cute. She's always been very creative, loved her friends. She's an only child. Mm-hmm. So her love for her peers was deep. But she is also very messy, very mm-hmm. forgetful. But, you know, she was involved in so many activities. She did 2 dance classes. She was doing taekwondo. She played the violin. She played the piano. And all of those, she had an interest in. It wasn't that I or my husband said, you know, you must do these things. She willingly wanted to go. It wasn't until the pandemic when everything pretty much just the bottom dropped out.
Right.
Where the messiness was even more apparent because I was around her all the time, mm-hmm. you know, more
so. She was at home all day with you.
Yeah. She would do things like, prior to that, she would make these little concoctions of like lotion and sunscreen and put it in a little paper cup and put it in her, she had drawers on her bed. She would put that in there. And of course I'd find it because she wasn't a good sneaker. And I'd ask her, you know, why did you do that? And she just kind of look, you know, blank stare at me and say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a parent, you're like, you know, good and hell well, you know.
Right.
Exactly. Even though she was younger, you knew. It was like you felt, you did know. You were trying to hide this from me. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of little things like that. But as I said, the pandemic brought out a lot. Because she had so many activities and she enjoyed being there, the pandemic just shook her because she didn't have any peers to, mm-hmm. you know, spend time with. They were doing the little chat thing because at the time she was, I think, 9 or 10. And so they would do little messaging, but it didn't take the place of physically being there. Mm-hmm. And same with her activities. Some of them tried to offer them virtual, but she was very shy, reserved, just very self-conscious about participating on the camera.
Online,
and
yeah.
So it was hard because I'm still trying to work from home. And then she's not a baby, but she's not able to really engage and entertain herself. So I always say the things that started happening is because of the messiness and just the all over the place behavior. I praised, I punished, I rewarded, I removed, and everything was still the same. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like, what is happening? What am I doing? Right. What am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And really the straw for me was I was in a meeting, a virtual meeting, of course, and she wanted me to look at something on her mattress. And I was like, I kind of told her I'm in a meeting. I'll look at it in a bit. She brought the mattress to me downstairs.
No way.
I was like, and as I said, I'm in a meeting, you know, and I'm actively participating. It's not like I'm just listening. And I could not believe it was like, and I was being punked or something. Like, uh-huh. Where's the camera crew? Because she drug her twin mattress downstairs show me something because I couldn't come right away.
Right. And she needed immediate gratification.
Exactly.
She needed to see it right then and there.
Yes. Even our cats were like rubbernecking, like, what is going on? You know, so I just calmly tried to, you know, participate in the meeting and waited until I was done and asked her what was going on. And again, I got that, well, I needed you to look. And I was like, okay, something has to happen. Something really needs to happen because I don't know what to do. I mean, I was literally going crazy. Uh-huh. And I was by myself because my husband was going out. So it was like, and he would come home and say, well, you should have done this or you should have. There's, again, I praise, I punish, reward, and move. Right. We still get the same behavior.
You did everything that people say to do and what exactly. Research says to do.
Yes. And I, you know, vented, of course, to my friends. And then I just started Googling stuff and, you know, just on the internet. And I came across Tracy Otsuka's podcast uh-huh. that Lori was on.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, how you get that, the burning bush or the epiphany or whatever.
The aha moment.
Exactly. And I was like, I have got to get her evaluated. Because I would jokingly say, does she have ADHD? I mean, what's going on? Because she's very smart, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, how can you not understand that I want you to take your stuff upstairs, put it in your drawer? You know, I can always tell where she was because of the trail. You know, if right, I asked her to take her clothes upstairs, her clothes would be in the bathroom because then she got distracted by whatever was in the bathroom. And then, you know, whatever she took out of the bathroom, she took, you know, and it was just like, it's not an intelligence thing because, as I said, she did well in school. It wasn't really a struggle for her in school. The pandemic, again, was one of the things that kind of brought it out. And I was like, maybe she does have dyscalculia because she was struggling a little bit with math. I didn't really think dyslexia, but again, I'm not a professional. I didn't know, but I thought it was time for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's when I reached out to you guys to see about getting her.
Curious, was she in a public school or a private school at the time?
Private school.
A private school.
Yeah. Was kind of a blessing because I could kind of, you know, it was smaller. And so the teachers kind of looked out for her because mm-hmm. The other thing that started happening is she started having panic attacks. And again, that was like right around the pandemic. Mm-hmm. She worried about COVID before COVID came to the United States. And really? When I say worried, like she worried. And so, you know, that Friday when everyone got sent home and, you know, it was, I think it was the 12th or something. She had a panic attack and it manifested and we were driving and she kept saying there was a bug or something in the car with us. And of course, you know, it could have been, but I never found it. And she just kept, you know, escalating and escalating to the point where you know, had to pull the car over, basically take everything out, was, you know, knee deep in it trying to find whatever she said was there. And I couldn't find it. And that's when I kind of realized it was just the end, you know, taking your stuff. You know, they had to take all of their belongings home. That was too much for her.
It was overwhelming.
And that's how it manifested. And so,
not knowing what was to come either,
I'm sure was
anxiety inducing.
Too heavy, way too heavy. But prior to that, she's a rule follower. And so, you know, if all of the kids are standing on their heads, she's not going to do it. You know, she would tell who didn't do it. And I would joke, my husband and I would jokingly say, you know, snitches get stitches. You got to be careful because, you know, you want to not alienate people, but also, you know, follow the rules.
Right. Of course.
And school was never really a problem. But when there was a problem, it was big. You know, like she would have this uncontrollable crying. And, you know, the teachers, of course, because they knew us, would reach out to me and ask me, you know, is she okay? What's going on? Mm-hmm. She said her aunt died, but really she didn't. You know, like it was a situation where she didn't get her way and she didn't know how to speak up for herself. So she just broke down. Mm-hmm. And when asked, the first thing she could think about was this lie about her aunt dying in a place we don't even have relatives.
Really? Oh, it's like she was trying to seek attention, but in an inappropriate way.
Right. In the end, it all worked out. She got what she needed. The teacher was like, she could have just spoke up, but she didn't know how to.
Right.
I had to kind of backtrack and be like, none of our family members have died, God willing, you know, like everything's okay. I think this is just her way of not knowing how to handle whatever. But yeah, we were, you know, private school kind of helped, but then also kind of hurt because they have history with her and they know, you know, she can do the work. These things, you know, it's that kind of, they looked out for her, but almost enabled her. So
smaller classes, more individualized attention. Her teacher was probably accommodating her without necessarily having specific written accommodations that
exactly right. She's always lost assignments. I shouldn't say always. At that age, it wasn't a lot, but her stuff was just messy. You know, like it was way too chaotic for me, and so that was something I was always. How do you manage? Why do you do this? You know, and her fourth grade teacher, because I think that was the year before. Yeah, the year of they had She was very structured, which helped because they had to have one big folder with all of the different subjects. So that helped. She didn't have to have a lot of little. But there were still times when, you know, her English assignment was in the math section and, you know, it was just kind of never pristine, you know, laid in there nicely. It was just shove it in there. Let's go. Right. And my husband and I were always, how do you even function like this? You know, what's going on? But she did.
Okay. So you finally pulled the trigger and said, we're going to get her evaluated and determine if it is or is not ADHD. And if it's not, what is it? What's going on?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Was the evaluation process fairly easy and, you know, painless?
Initially, no, because again, with the pandemic, we had to find someone. And I didn't really, I didn't first go to Quest because they weren't in my area. And so I wasn't thinking virtual for evaluation. I thought you have to physically be, you know, wherever. And so I got put on a waiting list with no time frame of when they would get to us. And then I just started digging more and it was like, oh yeah, we can do this virtually. I talked to, I think it was Lori's husband. He was super nice, super helpful. We got it scheduled and the rest is beautiful history. Because I felt like it couldn't have happened any better.
Mm-hmm. So the diagnosis, and she was diagnosed with ADHD.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
And it sounds like you already had suspected that. So how did you feel when you found out she actually had the diagnosis? You know, was it confirming? Did it?
Yes,
you
know? 100%. I was like, I knew it. You know, my mom used to jokingly say I had a WebMD because I was always Googling something. And another one of my friends would laugh because whatever I had an interest in, it seemed like things were coming to me as if I asked for them. So it was awesome because once I started looking at ADHD, it was like all of the symptoms were her.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get that confirmation, it was like, okay.
Right.
The only thing I was a little thrown off by was I thought she had dyscalculia because her reluctance with math and just all of that. But I'm not a professional, so that's fine, you know.
And she didn't. She just, I think, you know, that it is very common for individuals with ADHD out of all academic subjects, they tend to struggle most with math, unless, you know, there is that, I guess, a couple handfuls of people that are huge, huge math minds, love math. It's very concrete. It makes sense to them. But what we find is a lot of individuals with ADHD do struggle with math. And I think part of that is it requires so much focus and concentration in class every single day because it's so cyclical and comprehensive. You know, each skill builds on the information you were taught from the day before. So if you weren't focused and attentive during instruction yesterday, then you're going to struggle with the skills presented today. And then it kind of snowballs
into, right. Yep.
And then, of course, once you feel like you're not good at it and it's hard for you, it's much harder to pay attention.
Yep.
Right.
That is one. And I would tell her that all the time. I said, if you don't think you're great, you're right, because you made it up in your mind that you're not going to do well. Mm-hmm. And she, the weird thing about it, too, is they used to have these time tests. They called them math facts or whatever, where they had to, you know, time. I think they had a minute or 2 minutes to go through their multiplication or division. She struggled with that. But if you gave her the test, she would get 90s, 100s, you know. So it was comforting to know that she knew what she was doing, but the pressure of the timed part, that part was, and so it never became an issue, really, because if you looked at her grades themselves, the test and the quizzes, she was acing them. It was just this, you know, these math facts that stressed her out. And then once she got higher, she just didn't care, you know, like the virtual part of it all too. And that was the other factor. The virtual part was too challenging because she needed to be in class.
Right.
And so with her not being in class, it just made her lose interest even more. So her fifth grade year, if she hadn't returned to school, she probably wouldn't have passed because she was so far behind. She wasn't turning in assignments and I couldn't really babysit her because I'm trying to keep my job as well.
You're trying to work, yeah. Well, plus the way they teach math nowadays is so different.
It's
from
horrible.
When we were in school, it's so hard to help your child.
Exactly.
Because you can't explain it the way their teacher was teaching it or explaining.
Right. It's too many steps, and that was the thing for her.
Uh-huh.
You can't just multiply and divide across. You had to make this bar and make this graph, and then you had to show all the steps. And that was just way, way too challenging for her mind. She just wanted to, she was missing steps, basically. Mm-hmm. She wanted to get to the end. Like, she would get the correct answer, but she couldn't clearly show how she got there. And that became a problem.
Sure. Yeah, the teachers want you to show your work. So then when you got the evaluation completed and the diagnosis, did you share the results with her school? And how were they responsive? And if so, did they respond positively or negatively and put supports in place?
So I did not initially share with her school because the recommendation really wasn't for accommodations that were that drastic. You know, it was more just to have a conversation with the teacher and allow her a little extra time to make sure she wrote the assignment down off the board. Like, she didn't need more time to take the test or to turn in her assignments. She just needed to make sure she wrote down.
She knew what the assignment was.
Exactly. So,
and that she got it done and got it turned back in.
Right, right. That was the biggest thing. So I initially did not share that. I only shared it in her junior high year because she was also struggling emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of, you don't want to make it, this is the excuse. It's more of an explanation. You know, like, this kind of goes to her disorganization causes her to be frustrated and have anxiety. And then we circle.
Exactly.
She 100% knows what to do, but she struggles with executing that plan. So please be, you know, forgiving and understanding, because we're trying to. And this was also prior to medication, because that was the other challenging thing. What presented first was more anxiety and depression. And so we went to her pediatrician with, you know, that information, and they wanted to give her medication for the depression. But I just kept feeling like it was something more. And that's, you know, also why I pushed for the evaluation. So I was happy to share with her pediatrician that my thoughts about ADHD were valid.
Yes, I bet.
More so than the not to say anxiety and depression weren't there, but definitely I felt like it was that tie together.
Absolutely. So, and I really do feel like, from my personal experiences, as well as all of my years working with families and children, I do feel like unmanaged ADHD symptoms can cause a lot of anxiety and depression.
Right.
So you are beating yourself up about all these things you can't get done.
Right.
That you know you're capable of and you're smart enough to do, and it's frustrating. And then you're always kind of getting in trouble, or you're behind, or you're missing assignments. And it does, you know, definitely exacerbate any anxiety that already exists and cause a lot of depressive symptoms. So,
and
now,
that's what we struggle with today, because a lot of what her privileges she's not getting is because she's not executing her plan. And so she's angry, she's depressed because she doesn't get, when I tell her, you know, a lot of times people pray for your problems. You know, people pray that they could have an iPad that they can't access.
Exactly.
Or they can, you know, they did have a phone that they couldn't take out with them.
Right.
And
it's not a
biggest,
I mean, it's not a right for everybody. It's
exactly. These are your privileges. Our biggest struggle is her helping herself. You know, I'm trying to help her help herself. And, you know, the struggles with the room or whatever, we'll put things in place, you know, the structure in place, so that you can, you know, I try to do like 5 minutes, just do the 5 minutes, which most of the time, whatever's out of place can be taken care of in 5 minutes. But you neglect these 5 minutes over days, it's overwhelming.
Exactly.
And okay, I've given up on you folding your clothes, but when it's time to put on something, I don't want you tossing your clothes, trying to find what you need, and then you're getting upset with me because now you've brought me into it. And that's where the problem is. So you want to be disorganized, that's fine. If you can manage your madness, that's great. But when you bring me into it, that's when I have a brick problem, because we set out, you know, I want you to prepare, you know what is going to happen. You know, she wears a uniform to school, so there's only so many options. But you better believe it takes her 45 minutes to get dressed in the morning, you know. It's just, it's those kind of things. Like, you,
right.
you have to help yourself because somebody's not always going to be there to prompt you.
And that's right.
We struggle big time with that because we'll have our highs and lows, but we seem to stay on the low side more often. And that's a problem.
How old is she now?
13.
13. Okay. Yeah. So you might really, this might be a really good time to look into having her work with an ADHD coach to learn some really good strategies and tips and tricks and tools for improving organizational skills and time management skills and ways to work smarter rather than work harder, how to be more efficient, how to be more aware of her own ADHD symptoms and to be in touch with what she needs. Okay, my mind is drifting, I'm daydreaming, I need to get up, take a break, walk around, or I forget this, this, and this, I need to make a little to-do list and stick it to my bathroom mirror and check it every morning, or, right. You know, so that could really be beneficial for her and also take a little bit of pressure off of you and start to fade out some of your supports and reminders and prompting and the emotional, probably turmoil and interaction you guys sometimes have.
Right. And that's also the challenge is finding someone, you know, right. finding someone that can actually help, that she'll listen to because she's a great manipulator. Mm-hmm. You know, she can say what she needs to say to appease the people that are asking the questions.
Right.
But it's being accountable for what you were assigned.
That's
and
right.
So she doesn't do that well with me because I'm just old, silly, stupid mom, you know.
Right.
But mom is the one that's always there advocating for you. Because it was that's the other thing. I think about all the years that we were punishing her and, you know, trying to get her to behave. And then I feel for these kids that are still struggling, who are, you know, have these, you know, behavior problems or issues with school because someone is not taking an interest in figuring out what's really going on.
Right.
Because my husband is undiagnosed, but seeing what's happening with her made it more clear with him.
With him.
But he can't see himself in her.
He hasn't.
Right. Right. I'm like, you are the tree and she is the apple.
Right. Exactly. So, probably what's most frustrating, you had mentioned, you know, one of the biggest challenges right now is those emotional, I guess, the ups and downs, that emotional right. roller coaster she's on.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing, she's got kind of two whammies going against her. ADHD, you know, causes a lot of difficulties with emotional regulation. And then she's also 13.
Right.
Entering puberty, you know, hormonal.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, those teenage years or preteen years can cause a lot of difficulties with emotional regulation as well.
Yes.
So did you ever talk to a doctor about medication? Is that something guys eventually?
Yeah, no, she's taking medication now.
Okay, good.
The struggle that I have is she's happy with it for school, but I don't see any difference at home, you know? And so we've talked to our doctor and the doctor's kind of like, well, let's just kind of leave things the way they are because she's happy with, you know, she feels more focused and, you know, the noise isn't as loud when she's at school. Mom, you can kind of deal with it. It's that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I don't know if she's on the right dosage, on the right one. I mean, this is the second one we've tried. So we haven't been down the path that I know a lot of other people have been on.
Sure.
Because she said she felt relief.
Yeah,
and I can't dispute that because that's what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
But I want some relief too.
I'm sure. So maybe you need to talk to the doctor and see if, you know, she's a candidate for like the extended release or a booster at noon, you know, at lunchtime or something to get her through the evening also, you know, that after school time, homework time and evening.
Yeah. It's the lack of structure, but not for the lack of trying, you know, like I want her to come home. I'll give you some free time. And then you need to get into whatever homework you might have or whatever chores you may have.
Mm-hmm.
she knows the routine, but because I am not, you know, harping, standing over her, micromanaging her, I run out of energy trying to, you know, still work and manage. Is she doing what I told her to do?
Right.
And so she knows how to work the system.
Yep. Most 13-year-olds do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So do you think that, I'm curious, do you notice a difference in her or her confidence or her feelings about herself, basically from pre-diagnosis versus diagnosis? Like, does she know that she has ADHD and does she understand that a lot of her difficulties stem from that part of her brain that, you know, is related to the ADHD?
Yes, she does know. And she has several peers that also have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes, I don't know, it's comforting to know she's not alone in that pod. But just the other day when we were filling out like an evaluation form for a personal trainer, mm-hmm. I listed ADHD. And, you know, I try to let her be more vocal because what's happening is happening to her for her.
Sure.
And so I just kind of sit back and let her have the conversation. But when it got to ADHD, she was like, "You say it." And I said, "Why? It's you, you know, it's not." And so she's still really uncomfortable saying that she has ADHD. She has accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
She's not always receptive to the things that I try to share with her that pertain to her or might be helpful,
mm-hmm.
you know, for her ADHD and just overall whatever, something that would benefit her. But so it's kind of hard sometimes because, you know, I'll have this laundry list of things and I'll say, pick out one and let's watch this video or read this article or something. And it's like, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that would help her. So it's kind of challenging.
It is challenging because she has to be open to it and want to learn more about her ADHD or to be open to learning different tips and strategies and tools for managing.
Yeah.
And again, I would encourage you, I think for the most part, students tend to work best with an adult that is not their parent.
Oh, 100%.
You know, a tutor.
And parents don't want to work with their kids.
I
certainly don't.
So
that was the first thing I said, I would never want to be your teacher.
I will actually email you a couple different recommendations of some ADHD coaches that could be beneficial.
Wonderful.
But of course, like I said, you got to get her open to it and wanting to, you know, be a part of it and buy into it.
And I think she will because she likes the process. It's the execution where she fails. Like she comes out of these meetings and conversations and she's really high and she's really energized and she's going to do it. And it might last for, you know, a day or week or whatever. But when she starts slacking and I, you know, kind of nudge her gently, it's like I'm asking for an organ and then she doesn't want to do it. So I don't know the proper balance between getting her to do something without being a nag to push her not to do it, you know.
Right. And it's hard because, you know, it's a lot on you and
it
puts kind of a thorn in y'all's relationship if you're constantly nagging her and she's probably starting to tune you out. So that is frustrating. And again, she is, you know, hitting those tween/teenage years, which
that's like the twos or the fours or whatever. Like she's a teenager, full blown, you know, like. If she had a driver's license, then, you know, everything would be right on target. But she's full attitude, full, you know, just non-compliant. And it's not that I want her to be me, because that was one of the other things that we struggled with early on is I used to say, I wasn't like this. I didn't do this. And so I had to come to some terms and say, well, we're not the same. You know, we were raised, first of all, we're two totally different people and it's a different time. And once I started accepting that, it became easier for me to kind of just sit in whatever she was going through. Like, she had to struggle to want to be different. And I can't fix everything, you know, as much as you want to help your babies, you know.
That's right. And sometimes some of those natural consequences are the best ones.
Yep.
Letting the teacher say, well, you failed that assignment, or you have a zero for that assignment because you didn't try it.
Or not listening when your mother tells you you only have so much on your in your card to spend, and you go and overspend, and you look to mom to make up the difference, and mom won't do it.
Right.
So you have to tell the sales associate you're going to put some things back. You know, those are hard to watch because you see the physical struggle, mental, and, you know, physically she's breaking down. She's, you know, upset. But it's one of those I told you so moments, but I'm not going to tell you I told you so. I'm just going to let you deal with you didn't listen to what I told you. And now you have to deal with it. So,
yeah. And you're thinking
helping
about
her get out of her own way.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, Michelle, if you had any advice for parents that are listening that may be walking in your shoes or observing and experiencing some of the same struggles you did, what would be your advice for them?
I would suggest that they trust their gut. If you think something is not right with your child, look into it. You know, the outcome can be favorable, or just to prove that whatever you were thinking is what you were thinking or isn't. Just get that confirmation and be patient with yourself, because you've never had to do this before. And so you don't know if you're doing, it's not going to feel right because you've never had to experience this before. Mm-hmm. And just be kind to yourself, because it is a lot on the parent. You know, I used to tell my husband all the time when we were pregnant, healthy and here was our goal, you know, to get our child here and healthy, but it doesn't stop, you know, like it just changes. And so whatever it is, just try to be an advocate for your child, because no one knows your child the way you know your child. And just, you know, again, just try to figure out what it is and how you can best help your child as well as yourself, because you're in that together. And it's not, let me toss them over the fence and somebody fix them. You're involved in that. And so whatever my recommendations might come your way, you have to figure out how to stick with it, you know, work those in and help your child, because it's not going to be easy until you do. Mm-hmm. So
that's great advice. And give yourself grace.
Yes. You know?
Absolutely. Well, I love that. I think that's so important. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for sharing your experience with our listeners. And you know that we're here at any time moving, you know, as a resource for you. I've actually written a little note here. I have an email I'm going to send you.
Okay.
Sometime later today or tomorrow with a few different resources. But again, thank you for sharing, and we really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.